Hail the Void, dear listeners! Lawkeeper Diav here, conjuring the power to bring you these historical transmissions. Previously, a Goliath monk by the name of Egg was tasked by his chieftain to regain their god's favor and bring the blessing of childbirth back to the surrounding area. On his travels, he heard the sound of our heroes in the midst of battle with an undead abomination. Working together, they dispatched the evil creature and watched it float downriver. What will become of this unlikely alliance? And what waits for our heroes in Parnast? Find out today on If I Could Wish, A Wish.
Combat has just finished.
Woo!
Egg, you're standing in the water, just washing your hands off. Sakura's sitting near the tree line, petting herself. Tumani, you're still sort of floating above water, and Quinlan, and you've just released this bolt of energy that has dispatched this undead abomination.
I'm gonna fly to our new friend.
Okay. He's in the water, right, pretty close to you.
Okay, just I kind of just like hover over him and be like, oh, thank you so much, giant person.
You're very welcome.
Yeah! I kind of give him like a bow with my wings just like spread out. I'm Tumani.
Were you the one that was crying for help?
No, she was the one crying for help.
As you point downriver, as the body's floating.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think we helped her. Mage hand thumbs up.
Hey. Okay. What's your name?
My name is Egan, and then they gave me the new middle name. One moment.
It was a title. It was
So. I am Godseeker Egan Comhan Annika Anna. Let me try that word again. I am the Godseeker Egan Comhan Annika Lothai.
Aha.
If it is easier, you may call me Egg.
Egg is much easier. Would you like to come ashore and meet my friends?
Sure. just kind of like final little rinse of the hand. Like had to pry that last little hair off.
Tumani, by the way, tries to be like overly friendly because so many people are mean to tieflings, and I'm probably the only person that plays a good tiefling.
A druid tiefling.
A druid tiefling? Yeah,
pretty like you do.
I just wanted to be different. I actually didn't realize how weird of a combination it was until Jeremy was like, are you sure? That's what you're... Okay.
No, it makes it unique.
Yeah, exactly.
So you hover back over to shore, giving a few little flaps as you come down to the ground, lightly touching your feet onto this sandy embankment.
Mage sand. She gets trapped in the sand.
God damn it! Stop it!
That's a brilliant spell.
Sakura's still about 15 feet off, sort of leaning up against a tree.
Chillax.
Sakura!
I stand up and dust myself off as Mage Hand dissipates.
Come meet our new friend!
I walk up to them. And I slowly tilt my head backward as I look up at this Goliath of a person.
We should mention how tall is your character?
I'm 7'6". I'm a little bit on the smaller side of Goliath.
Yeah. Oh, so you're 7'6", I'm 6'6".
So, about a foot.
Yeah. So just you're about as tall as me, then I am taller than Tumani. Mm-hmm. She's got head. Fly.
And I have horns, I think. Yeah, so.
Yeah, a little curled back.
Like yeah.
A little like Ram style.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk to him, but I realize that our height is kind of weird. So I just like hover. So I'm like eye height with him.
And it's, you have such kind of a big wings. So it's more like a flap and you're at his height and then you slowly come down and you flap back up and it's sort of a bouncy kind of thing as you're trying to keep eyesight with him.
Is it common knowledge that Goliaths don't really leave their nest very often?
We prefer to call it a tribe.
Yeah. Okay.
Your nest. I
understand you have wings. Everything is a bird.
Yeah.
Are you making a history check, I suppose? There's not really a lore check, is there?
What's Arcana?
I think it would be probably a history or nature.
What's her?
I like nature. Can I do nature?
A nature check.
I'm just trying to see if it would be common for a Goliath to be out in the open like this.
Since I'm standing directly in front of him,
so 24.
I reach out my tight. I'm like, I'm 6'6", but I'm like a buck 40.
Like lanky.
Yes.
Yeah, just straight snake muscle type of person. And I reach my hand and I say, Sakura Namas.
My name is, and he'll just pause for a second and just go, Egg. And he shakes the hand and goes like as firm as you go for the handshake. Like he tries to like gauge it.
So it's like a really limp handshake at first when Sakura realizes that, and she squeezes tighter and then tighter. And when she tries to squeeze a little bit harder, she realizes that's way too hard for her hand to squeeze. So she lightens up a little bit and understands he has some sensitivity to him, that he's not just a lug. And she gives him a once over again and says, "What brings you these parts?"
I have, let me look over my notes and see what my
notes. While you're looking through your notes, Tumani, you know that, what was it?
24.
You know that, primarily they stay within their tribes, and that there are differing, like, modes of thought. Some of them keep very isolated. Mm-hmm. Some of them even trade with giants. Some of them trade with, you know, humans. Most of the time, if they're far from their tribe, it's because they've been exiled for being kind of useless, basically.
Okay.
Not useful to the tribe. I wouldn't say useless. Not useful to the tribe.
Tribe, got it.
Not keeping up.
Well, okay, so then my immediate thought is then that the lady at the gladiatorial ring must have been exiled, and that's why she was there.
And he's not old, but he is sort of a middle age. He's an older gentleman.
If you look closely, I look roughly 38-ish.
38-ish.
Middle aged.
So he's like my age, I think.
But just bigger.
Yeah, I'm 35. So, okay. I kind of as I'm like bouncing and floating, I'm just like, so what did you exile for?
So Sakura has asked you what you're doing here, and then she asked you, what are you exiled for?
It's more of a voluntary separation.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. My tribe and the neighboring villages are having a bit of a situation regarding our children.
Oh.
Ah. I am sympathetic to your cause.
I appreciate your sympathy to my cause.
Tumani starts bouncing, and she's just like, well, what's wrong with your children? Are they too short?
Is that Patrick laughing or
Egg? Yeah, that's me laughing. No.
Egg's very stoic.
Sakura kind of like pulls Tumani by the ankle a little down toward her, and she says, too soon, Tumani. And then let's go.
They are not making it much further than the birthing process.
Grabs her ankle again. Way too soon, Tumani.
My chieftain and others believe that it is Lathander who has turned his eye, and I am seeking the cause of it and trying to gain favor.
Who's Lathander?
Make a religion check.
Fifteen.
15, you know a little bit about Lathander. He's a god mostly associated with birth and like vitality and athletics. Sort of a very, very decent conglomeration for a tribal peoples to worship, because he's all about the dawn and the birth and the path.
Right. Well, Tamini doesn't really understand that because she doesn't like believe in any deities or religion. So, I kind of just like nod, and then I look at Quillana and I'm like, I think this is all for you. Because I know that she has belief in that kind of stuff, so.
And I do know something about Lathander. Let me do it.
Sure.
With the D20?
Yeah.
So 17.
17. So you obviously know what she knows. You also know that he's worshipped by many like travelers and merchants, because he is known as the god, like the dawn caller and the god of the path. Does Egg wear clothing on his chest?
No, he's probably like bare chested, probably like pants and like a belt.
Okay.
Maybe like that little like kind of like monk sash thing kind of sticking out of the belt.
Okay.
Bare chested, so that way that Lathander symbol that was put on earlier.
Yeah, so you definitely noticed the tattoo that he has across his right bicep is a signet of Lathander, like the sigil on your shield is of your goddess. You also do correlate the idea that his tribe's having this issue sort of stirs in your mind that there was this pretty well-known temple to Palor, the god of light, in Oakhurst that was desecrated, and there was no seeming return from Palor on this action. That normally if a god is as powerful and respected as Palor was, if such desecration happened to one of his temples, there would normally be immediate retribution.
So I am looking at Egg, and I introduce myself as well. I'm still a little shaky from having cast that bolt and killed another creature. But I am noticing that he's on a journey to discover something about his god, and I recall that Palor also was a non-responsive god. So I shake your hand, introduce myself, I'm Kalanen, and I'm somewhat on a pilgrimage, and I'm with these people here. We're on a quest together, but I find it interesting that your god has been absent, as well as the god Palor in Oakhurst.
We did not know that.
Are you familiar with Palor, Egan?
No of, but, you know, it's kind of being aware of the snow on a mountain when you live in the grass.
I see. You are wild with metaphors.
Sometimes.
Just one word answer.
Okay, yes, I guess my question still stands. So what are you going to do to get back in favor with Lathander?
I am not sure.
Well,
part of the journey is figuring out the answer to the question, and then the second part, I guess, would be solving the question with the answer that I have found.
Fair.
He seems a little confused by his own sentence.
Sakura kind of takes her quarterstaff and places it in the ground and looks at the sun and looks at the shadow and lifts it back up again and looks at Egan and says, well, we are traveling to Parnest, and if you wish to accompany us on our travels there, you are welcome to. Otherwise, Quillanen, Tumini, I believe we should be making trails.
Yes, we did take an unexpected break here. We have still have some time for, we're covering quite a few miles. We walked for about, 3 hours, and this probably took...
You got another about 4 hour walk ahead of you.
We may be able to make it by this evening if we continue.
Well, my journey needs to take one of many directions, so this one seems as good as any. Plus, that was a little fun.
All right, you continue your journey. Do you continue at a leisurely pace like you were before?
Maybe a little more urgency.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not lollygagging. We're actually making lazy trail.
Would there have been a time for a short rest in that?
You could absolutely take a short rest. Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
I would say that the time that you spent sitting and talking and learning about each other, that would have been...
We could recover one spell slot.
So you continue. I actually rolled a nat 20 on the encounters, so it's a very leisurely stroll from here on out. No more undead
maidens
drowning in the river. The sun is beginning to set over the mountains as you see the outline of a town begin to take form. As you get closer, you see that there is a wall made out of just plain cut wooden logs and a small opening at the front where two... not terribly defined guards are standing at the opening of the town, and as you approach, they say, "Hail! What brings you to our city?"
We stop as one in our group and look at each other, and I go ahead and respond. We are journeyers from the south. We've been following the river. Is this Parnast?
Aye, it is. And Sakura, with your sort of sarcastic eye, you notice that he says city, and this is barely constitutes as a town. It's so small. So you sort of get a sense of pride that they have, but unearned pride. Yes, this is Parnass. Do you have business here?
Yes. Where is your temple?
Our temple.
Surely a city of stature as a temple.
They sort of look at each other and they turn and they say, "Well, I mean, the building still stands, but it is out of use."
You do not pray to a god here.
Our gods abandoned us decades ago.
Sakura sighs and muttering something in Draconic, which would essentially be, "Gods don't give up. You know, people give up on gods."
Okay.
But nobody else understands that. Just our listeners. I love you.
Secretly call them quitters.
Quitters.
One guy's like, "Hey."
So yeah, Soccer just kind of smokes it. And then kind of like peeks around and says, "And which direction is the Forgotten Temple?"
"It's within the wall. What is your business here?"
"It is within the temple."
"No one has business within the temple."
"None of your business."
And they sort of...
Yeah, like, Egg will just kind of chime in, like, "Clearly three people do."
Soccer does like a good like pat on the side, like, "Thank you."
They sort of like roll their shoulders, and you sort of see them like plant their spears into the ground. And as they do that, you see this man dressed in again, finery, but not finery. Finery for a commoner kind of walks up, and he claps his hands and he says, "Damon Chorl, why are you being so rude to our new guests? Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. I hear you have business in our fine town."
Yep.
"And is there any reason why we cannot enter?"
"Of course there isn't. Please." And he sort of puts his hand on one of the guards, and you see them both sort of roll their eyes and relax, and then they retake their stance. And he says, I am Mayor Sorrel. I am Mayor of Parnass. Please, please come. Please stay with us. We will find you lodging. Currently, the small tavern that we have is out of service, but I'm sure we can find you somewhere to rest for the evening.
I do find traps.
Find traps?
No, I'm just kidding.
What, like social traps?
Social traps.
Like, are you trying to check if this is a Hotel California?
He's catching.
No.
He's catching.
Can I leave when I get back here?
Yeah. Soccer kind of stands there bewildered for a second and thinks to herself, no temple, no tavern. No temple, no tavern.
What do these people believe in?
Fine, I cast hot metal on their spears. Too many feeling like she was just welcomed in. She's just going to kind of push past them and okay. Walk into them.
The mayor sort of turns and walks stride by stride with you, just sort of yammering on about how welcome you are and sort of pointing out that, he points out the smithy and the stables, and which are conspicuously right next to each other. And there's a small market where people are selling fruits and vegetables that seem to be grown in a little farm area off to the western end of Parnast.
Okay. How big does this area seem?
It's a very small town, maybe less than 30 homes. And the main road that comes up from Oakhurst goes directly into the town and then splits off into the little market district area. There is a cut in the road that leads off to the eastern part that looks a little bit more out of use. It's not well kept. There are weeds growing on it. Part of the cobbles have been removed or are missing. And you see a small church, almost temple, church-like temple off in the distance.
Okay, I kind of look at my group and I'm like, temple's that way.
That's where soccer starts walking.
The mayor says, yes. We have not used that in years, probably.
As he's talking, I just put my finger up to his lips and I'm like, shh. And we just walk up to the temple.
Thank you for your tour.
As you pass by him, he just sort of smiles and says, I say. And then sort of folds his hands and he actually just sort of waits there at the crossroad that cuts to the temple. So as you walk down this broken road, you come to the building and you can see that it holds true that the windows seem to have been boarded up. There is a large wooden plank across the door that seems to be nailed to it. There is one stained glass window towards the top that is almost a brother image to the Temple of Pelor that you saw in Oakhurst. It is another temple to Pelor here as well.
Gods die in this?
Other than that, the temple seems dark and out of use.
I glance around my companions and say, so, Pelor, you see the stained glass? That's the same image as the temple in Oakhurst, which was also seemingly pretty abandoned. What the heck is going on here?
What's Pelor the god of?
It's fertility, correct?
No, that's...
I have
like
that
sun god, right?
He's another god of light and of the sun.
I thought he was like the hunter god.
I go to like what the front door would be. Is it like nailed shut or something?
There's a large wooden plank across it, nailed shut.
I look at Egg and I'm like, "Hey, Egg, could you rip this off?"
Okay.
It's like. You go up to it. You don't even need to make a strength check. You go up to it, and the wood is old and brittle. It's definitely been here for at least a decade, maybe more. As you pull on it, the nails almost just go straight through the board, and you're just sort of holding this 10-foot board in your hands.
Toss.
You're not wearing an earphone, are you?
No, I'm just recording? Yeah, I'm watching.
Okay,
I have it.
This place seems it's been longer abandoned than the other temple, despite the other temple had people.
The other temple wasn't exactly abandoned, right?
It was active.
Well, this is what I was saying, is that it seems that this has been abandoned for a while, and that may be serving a purpose as to why the other one was seemingly abandoned by the god of Paelor. And that we are, you know, we may be on a trail to something that shows us that there are more temples, and maybe even outside of Paelor's house, Sakura glances to eat again, that are being affected by this. And perhaps fate would have it that this may even be M'Tazah's doing.
Could be. She's kind of a bitch.
What is an M'Tazah?
Ooh.
Oh, she's this crazy mage lady that we fought. And we're chasing her down.
Are you familiar with the seven joys, Egan?
No.
You can make a history check if you want.
Oh, that my intelligence is a 10. Should?
He might know.
A history check, you say?
Yeah.
I'm actually proficient in that, too. 18.
Nice. Okay. In your time at the monastery, you did have travelers that came to provide goods to the monks, and you did hear stories from traveling bards would sing songs of glories past, which sort of resonated with you as a Goliath. You loved hearing these stories of warriors. And upon hearing these words, the seven joys, you remember a specific ballad that you heard about these glorious heroes, these seven heroes who saved the world from utter destruction and were basically revered. It was over 100 years ago, however, is this when this story took place.
So, Egan will go, no, wait. And he'll kind of like hum the like hymn a little bit, or the ballad. Okay. As like, yeah, seven heroes side by side went, and like kind of a little bit of the lyric, and it's like, those guys.
And you... Everybody roll a d20, besides Egg.
5.
Is this Arcana?
No. Just roll a d20.
3.
7. Jesus!
Okay, never mind.
5, 7.
All right, so, all right. Can we continue. Have no.
I say, if these lyrics that you are recalling are of any relation to the true heroes of ages past, then the truth is that sometimes heroes don't remain heroes, and it is up to the generations after them to clean up whatever mess is laid before them.
Egg stares off into the distance for just a bit as he lets that sink in.
As you're staring, you start seeing the sun crest down, and the light from the sun sort of reflects off of the stained glass window of Paelor, and sort of casts a rainbow in front of your vision as you're sort of processing all of this.
Is there any torches in this room?
You haven't gone inside yet?
I'm going to kind of stick my head in and see if there's any like torches.
You can see some long, sort of cracked some cracked old candles in sconces along the wall, not necessarily torches.
Can I light things? Because I want to do druidcraft and just light everything up in there.
Okay. So do you step in, or do you just do that from the door?
I'll step in and light up.
You begin to walk through and,
seems like a bad idea.
Sort of as you're sort of looking around the framework of the building, you sort of just bring your hands up and wave your fingers, and the candles start flickering on one at a time. And there's sort of a sputtering, cracking to the candles because they're all covered in this thick layer of dust. As you look down, you also notice that your footprints are leaving an impression on the ground, that there's a thick layer of dust on the ground, the pews, the altar, everything seems to correlate with the fact that this place has been closed for quite a while.
Can I do Is there anything interesting in here?
Make a perception check.
Can I help her with that and give her advantage?
You're outside. How are you going to help her?
I was going to step in.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So he sees you looking around and offers to look around with you, I suppose.
I'm going to sidle in as well. I'm very interested in being around and see if I can find any symbols or sense anything.
Gotcha.
So 21 for perception.
Okay.
Proficiency.
That looks like one.
I rolled already. I rolled that one.
Since he was assisting you, roll again and see if you get higher as well.
No.
Okay. So 21.
21.
Okay.
Well, you have your passive wisdom, but yeah.
Oh, so I add that.
No, it's just your passive wisdom.
So you're like you're actively looking, but then your passive would be like if you see something on the corner of your eye, kind of thing. As the three of you enter, Sakura takes a minute before entering behind you as well. And Sakura, you can make a perception check as well. I'm gonna have you roll with advantage from what you texted me. Okay.
Good thing for advantage.
You look around and it looks like a pretty simple house of worship.
Is there like a second floor at all, or is it just one building?
There is a back room that looks like it would have been a simple setup for the priest to have lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple bed, a desk, and a little kitchen area. You do see on the little end table in that back room next to the bed, a little protrusion in the dust, and as you go in and clear it off, you see a fairly simple looking silver ring.
Okay, does it have any like engravings on it or in the inside at all?
It does not. It looks very simple.
I put it on.
Okay.
Do I disappear?
No.
Is this the one ring to rule them all? Do I have to throw this in mortar?
As you put it on, you feel all of the sweat and dirt and dust and grime on your body just sort of disconnect from you and fall to the ground. You just feel super clean. You have found the ring of clean.
Oh my God.
It's 3 charges. You want to write this down?
So I've already used it. Like, right. You already used one. Damn it!
3 charges probably per cycle.
So ring of clean.
Yep. Recharges 1d3. Charges when washed in an uncontaminated stream.
I can purify water, bitch. Everything's uncontaminated for me.
And you can also, it's not just for you. You can touch an object or a person and it'll affect them as well.
Can I touch the building?
I was going to say, what's the building?
Like, what's the size of it?
You can roll this D100 and tell me what happens.
Like, I just restore this temple real fast.
I haven't rolled any good ones yet. Do you want me to roll it for you?
No!
So you just have that, like, dust puff up everywhere and it's like...
I'm nervous now. Ooh, it's 50, like, right in the middle.
Okay. I'll say you touch the desk with it as you are in this room, and you sort of see all the dust in the room sort of coalesce into one ball and then poof out in a magical
storm. Does everyone else see this?
Anybody that's in the room with you, yeah. And
so is the whole room clean now?
So the back room is pretty clean. I mean, it's still in aged disarray. But there's no dust or grime anymore.
Chumani's pumped right now. She's like so excited.
Where did the dust go?
She runs into the other room and she's like, God! And I just like touch the like the temple part.
Okay, roll this again.
Watch, I get a 1 and they're like, nothing's happening.
It's 100, I'm blessing it.
Yeah. 98.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you touch stand behind the
That's my 3 charge.
The altar. You stand behind the altar and you bring your hands up. You're like, "Guys, watch this." And you just slam your hands down and there's a poof of dust as your hands slam down, but as the rest of you are watching this, you just see this like, it's almost like there's the gunfire coming from like a B-52 into the room. Just like the dust on all the floor, the pews just starts going pa 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 all around you, and everybody sort of jumps for a second, and you see all the dust sort of come off the walls and all coalesce into the air, and then you see that there's a one of the windows at the top corner of it has like a little hole in it, and all the dust sort of congeals and then goes. At the
covers the town.
I was just about to say that. There's just some guy in the crossroad.
So it's like the
dust.
Whole room clean now?
Yeah.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
That's why they call me the goddamn DM. I
yeah.
So I guess we start like rearranging things and cleaning up too, since
I kind of like take a bow, and then like I point to my new ring, and I was like, it cleans shit, yo.
Effectively.
Yeah, effectively. I don't know, because my thought process is that like maybe if we restore this temple, it'll like help. I guess.
Like montage us, like putting in new windows.
maybe.
Gotta need a montage.
Maybe like part of it is like, okay, maybe these gods are pissed because you guys are just letting all their shit crumble to pieces, and they're feeling unloved. Like, you need people to believe in you in order for you to be a god.
Kualanin, make a religion check for me.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, Kualanin, what do you feel in this place?
+6.
Being that you sort of worship this deity who's sort of an all around, you know, just always ever present Mother Earth type of deity, gods and goddesses of the light and the dark have a very different feel than what you're used to. You're used to always feeling this ever present hum of the ground beneath your feet. In this building, however, you can still sort of feel the hum of the earth beneath the building, but other than that, you feel no divine presence from within the building.
Tabini, you have cleared the dust and made this temple more presentable, but it still feels as if the god has abandoned it. I don't know what we're looking for here. Why there seems to be an absence of the divine. I wonder if it's in the entire town or just that the building feels absent of God. Let's go see if the mayor has found some place for us to stay and eat. I'm hungry.
A worst case scenario, this building should do.
Yeah. I cleaned it for us.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if there's nothing else of interest in here.
I haven't seen anything. I've seen no marks or signs or...
Sakura goes to the... Essentially, like, the central part of the podium, which is where, you know, a priest would stand, I guess. And she... bows and places her head down and attempts to communicate to Paylor.
To Paylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Out loud.
Isn't Paylor the one that this temple's for? Yeah.
Okay. Roll this D100 for me.
There's a lot of D100.
So many uses for the D100.
It's literally a golf ball with numbers.
Okay, you bow your head and pray, and you wait for a moment. You don't feel the presence of Paylor, but a small tuft of golden hair that you have wrapped and tucked on somewhere on your person begins to glow and burn, and... this isn't something we've recorded. This is something that we've talked about for your pre gladiatorial day. And you hear, you sort of feel something move inside of your pack, and you hear something drop to the ground.
I reach down to pick it up.
You see a letter with the symbol of a emerald fox on it.
I kind of crouch down and I open up the letter.
Well, the letter has a wax seal on it, the seal of the clever fox from Oakhurst.
Which is the Hukreli clan.
You were given this letter by Carowyn Hukreli.
To deliver to somebody, correct?
Correct.
To Brolin in Parnast.
Correct.
Well, that's why we're here. We have to go find Brolin. Dun, dun, dun.
Are there other rooms?
Just the area of worship and the small place where the priest would have resided in.
That's the one I cleaned first.
And are there any drawers or anything around?
It's very simple.
No closets.
There was a hook for like vestments in the back area. Take another glance through it and you notice that there. Sort of on the ground is sort of tattered vestments that have just been moth-eaten and lost to the age of time.
Okay, Sakura stands up and she goes to dust herself off and then just kind of realizes that it's all gone and kind of just straightens her vestments instead and looks toward Quillan and Agin and Tumeini and says, I concur with you that I believe we are done here and we should continue to seek out our quest. As I believe fate has a lot more in store for us than we are able to foresee and that more things may be connected than we can anticipate. And she stands up and begins to walk out.
Okay.
I follow.
I'll follow last, and what I'd like to do is pick up that big log and try and reaffix it to the door.
Okay. You do. You shut the door behind you, and you just sort of like look at the plank and match up the holes with the nails, and then
just kind of like
just shove it on, and it just sort of hangs there on the door.
Hello, Void Gazers. Hope you're enjoying Chapter 3 of If I Could Wish a Wish with special guest Patrick, the goddamn DM. If you want to help us continue to push fun new content, you can like, comment, and subscribe to our episodes on your preferred podcast platform. Wrap the merch available at store.hailthevoid.com around town. Support us directly at patreon.com/hailthevoid, or if you left all your coin in a rundown temple to Paylor, you can help us tremendously by sharing your content with friends and family. Follow us on Twitter at @HailTheVoidPod, and while you're there, go ahead and follow @TheGoddamnDM as well. We'll be back next week with more D&D shenanigans, so stay vigilant, stay dusty, and above all, again and always, hail the void.